No philosopher. They pulled the hood off, and Broad was left squinting through one eye, trying and failing to bring the lamplit blurs around him into focus.
Well, 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 Gunnar Broad in my back parlour.
He knew that voice right off, and what he thought was, fuck. What he said was,
hello, Judge. Told you he'd be back, eh, Salby?
One of those blurs drifted towards him.
Some men just can't help themselves.
Someone perched his lenses on his nose, nudged them into that familiar groove, and like magic, everything became clear. Might have been better if it hadn't. Judge grinned down at him, Salby and a few others of his ilk standing around the stained walls of a cellar with not a friendly eye among them. Time hadn't improved her. She still wore that rusted breastplate over a ragged ball gown, looked like it belonged to a baroness chased through a briar patch. Her red hair was an even madder tangle, gathered up like some parrot's crest on top and clipped to patchy stubble at the sides. She still was decked with jewels, chains of office and strings of pearls ripped from the rich of Valbec in the uprising. But, as if she needed to look more like bloodshed personified, she'd strapped herself up with belts and bandoliers, too, knives dangling from them, hatchets tucked into them, blades enough to run a chain of butchers. She'd made him nervous the first time he laid eyes on her, and being chained to a chair in her presence helped not one bit. Made him think of all the dead folk she'd left hanged in the yard behind the ruined courthouse. He could still hear the sound of it, like a ship's rigging, creaking with the breeze. He'd been hoping for Rissenau. That would have been worrying enough. Judge was 10 times worse. Worse, because she was far more clever and far more dangerous. Worse, because if she was in charge, reason was out the window and running for the hills. Worse, because the moment he saw her, he felt that guilty tickle deep inside. The same one he got when he felt violence coming. She leaned down over him, reached out and smoothed his hair with one ring-encrusted hand, like a mother might smooth a wayward son's. It was the best he could do not to twist away. Twist away, or maybe twist closer.
"You know how sometimes," she purred, "you see an old lover you haven't seen in years, and you get that tingle in the crotch."
He knew what a tingle in the crotch felt like, all right. He had one now.
"And you think to yourself, why aren't we still together? How could something so sweet have turned so sour?"
"Might be all the hangings," tossed out Salby from the corner of the room. Judge pushed her lips into a pout.
"Folk just don't understand me. That's my tragedy."
She snapped her fingers, and one of the men slapped a bottle of spirits into her hand.
"But you do, don't you, Bull Broad? I knew it when you flung that man of mine across my courtroom and smashed his head through a witness box. You see what needs to be done."
And she curled her tongue around the neck of the bottle and drank, blotchy throat shifting with each hard swallow. She caught Broad watching and grinned as she smacked her lips, gave the bottle a shake, that lovely tinkle of spirit sloshing inside.
"Want a drink?"
"No," he said, wanting one worse than just about anything and not hiding it well.
"You sure? 'Cause I'm getting the feeling there's something over here you like the look of."
Broad watched, caught somewhere between terrified and fascinated, as she reached down, took the hem of her tattered skirts and pulled it up, up, to show the writing tattooed around and around her thigh, long-winded quotes from some political treatise or other, and she slipped that leg over his and straddled him, knives and chains scraping against her breastplate as she perched herself on his lap.
"Salby tells me you want to talk to the Breakers," she said.
Broad tried to tell himself Judge on top of him was the last thing in the world he'd want, that he was in more danger here than he'd been climbing a ladder onto the walls of Massalia, crowded with enemies, that she disgusted him. He wasn't sure who he was fooling.
"Shame is, The breakers melted away like snow in spring, said Judge. Those they didn't hang, like your friend Salby here,
and she tossed him the bottle,
have seen the light of the fire, seen the folly of half measures. Rissinow's off down in Keln, or some such fancy place, preaching his blather to the wide-eyed and wishful. But those of us still in Valbeck,
she leaned close, breath hot on his face,
we're all burners now.
Broad tried to keep Liddy and May in his mind. It was them he was doing this for, had to keep a grip on himself.
But it wasn't easy, with Judge's crotch pressing up against his half-hard prick and the reek of spirit so strong on her breath it was making his head spin. Breakers or burners, croaked Broad, makes no difference. Suppose it wouldn't to you.
She gave a long sniff.
I hear you've crossed the lines. Gone to serve the owners,
grunted Salby.
And not just any owner, but the Queen Bee herself, the fruit of old Styx's own withered loins, serveened and fucking Glockter. Denbrook,
muttered Broad. Judge smiled, or at any rate showed her teeth.
Don't try and trick a trickster, or at least try a bit harder. The owners chisel our pay every unjust way they can and call it an honest wage. The closed council drafts a set of rules that make the rich richer and drive the poor to starve and call it an equality law. You know what they named the most low-lying, smog-choking, shit-stinking alley of rotten cellars in all of Valbeck?
She leaned a little closer to whisper it.
Primrose Heights. Calling a thing a different thing don't make it a different thing, now does it? Wouldn't know,
croaked Broad, who beat men for a living and called it labour relations.
I'm no philosopher. Just a traitor!
She barked the word, and suddenly she was standing over him with her black eyes blazing, a handful of his shirt clutched in one trembling fist and a cleaver drawn in the other. She pressed that cold metal into his neck, twisting him back in the chair, and the men around the cellar shifted and nodded and grunted their anger.
I'm one of you,
growled Broad, trying to scrape together as much dignity as he could, with his life hanging from a thread, and a badly spun one at that.
I fought the good fight here, stood on the barricades, stayed to the bitter end. Chance might have landed us in different places, but we want the same thing. Food for our families, a safe place for 'em to sleep, an honest wage for honest work.
All the old slogans puked up like he still believed them.
Malmer was my friend. I was angry as anyone when they hanged him. But the young lion had no part of that. He wants to fight the closed council like he fought the Northmen.
He winced as Judge pressed that cleaver harder into his neck, right on the point of drawing blood, chair legs grinding as she started to tip him backwards.
Is that a fact?
It is!
Broad's voice had a scared squeak to it, or was it an excited one? He had to keep a grip on himself.
The whole army of Angland, on the last day of summer, they'll land on the coast of Middleland. Thousands of Stour Nightfall's warriors, too. They'll join up with the noblemen, and they'll march on Adua.
Rebellion against old Styx and his closed council. Against his fucking majesty.
The cold metal was of a sudden whipped away, and Judge stood, letting Broad's chair lurch forward onto its front legs. She gave a shiver all over, chains and knives rattling.
I got chills, Salby. You got chills?
I got lice, said Salby.
Who hasn't? Well, apart from Savine Dan fucking Brock. Dare say that bitch shits soap and pisses perfume.
Judge narrowed her eyes to black slits with a gleam of flame at the corners. It was hard to look into them, hard to look away.
So she wants us to rise up, does she? Keep the king's soldiers busy so she can walk a carpet of flowers right into the Agrient and slip her pretty little ass under the king's throne. Am I close to it?
Broad glanced around at the men.
You're burners, no? I thought rising up was what you're all about. You'll get no better chance than this.
Couple of them looked like they were buying it, but Judge only sneered.
Let's say it all goes your way, and the young lion tears the closed council down and buries his wife's father and all the other vultures. What then?
She poked him in the gut with her cleaver, made him wince.
It's the nobles backing him, the owners still. We'll have done nothing but swapped one set of users for another. You'll get a say in how things are done. Might not be a great change, but it'll be a change for the better. The Brocks have done some good up in Angland. Limits on workers' hours, rules to keep gears and drive shafts safe, controls on truck shops and overseers' penalties, all sorts of things the breakers been after for years.
That's true, said Salby. I heard about that.
Some of the others mumbled agreement.
Aye, my cousin's got a place in a mine. He's working 3 hours less a day.
One even went so far as to mutter,
like all of the darling of the slums.
Do me a fucking favour!
Judge leaned down, snarling over Broad again, lamplight gleaming on the edge of her raised cleaver.
You must take me for some new kind of fool.
No one's saying they're your friends.
Trying to stay calm in spite of his thudding heart.
But they're the next best thing. Your enemy's enemies.
Broad tried to smile, the way Savine smiled, like she held all the cards, however bad things looked. Probably didn't work too well chained to a chair, but he tried.
Come to the docks. See what I brought with me. Then you can be the judge.
Oh, I like that.
She smiled, switched back in an instant from fury to oily desire, and she settled herself in Broad's lap again, closer than ever, making him grunt through gritted teeth.
I expected fisticuffs from you, but never wordplay.
He could hardly think for the horrible, beautiful reek of spirits on her breath.
Did you bring me a present?
Had to keep a grip on himself.
Had to. How romantic.
There was a squeal of complaining wood as Bannerman wrenched the crate open. The burners clustered close, staring down, eager as winter tramps around a brazier. Swords glittered inside, a neat row of brand new swords, all the same, with a long, straight, single-edged blade and a dull steel grip, fresh oiled from the foundry.
20 infantry swords.
Bannerman pulled one from the crate with a practiced flourish and displayed it to Judge.
Latest pattern, still warm from the Ostenholm armory, better than the king's own carry.
He nodded towards some other crates.
20 horsemen's axes and 20 halberds too. 20 breastplates and 20 helms, all best Angland steel.
Another crate screeched as Halder ripped the lid off. He pulled out a flat bow, sleek and deadly-looking, even the frame made of metal, bored through with slots to make it lighter.
"Latest design, with the new wearing crank," said Halder. "A dressmaker could draw it, and it'll still pierce the heaviest armour."
He tossed the bow across to Salby, and he snatched it from the air, twisted it over, rattled the trigger, seeming to stand a little straighter with a weapon in his hand.
"Good?"
asked Judge.
Good,
said Salby, holding the flat bow to his eye and sighting down it, then slowly starting to smile.
Very good. Then there's this.
Broad ripped the top from the biggest case, dragging a fistful of wood shavings out of the way. Dull metal shone underneath. A great dark tapering tube, 3 strides long, and stamped into it, Armoury of Ostenholm 606.
What's this? Whispered Judge. You've got a fucking thunderpipe?
No. You've got one. The newest kind. Can throw a solid ball a mile, or turn a few handfuls of ironware into a rain of death. They've taken to calling them cannons, said Broad, from some Styrian word, I hear. But whatever you call it, it comes to the same thing.
He leaned close to whisper in her ear.
Lightning in your pocket. Never saw such a beautiful thing.
judge stroked that metal with her fingertips, up and down with a steady swish, swish, and Broad felt that sick tickle stronger than ever, not sure whether it was judge or the weapons or some combination of the two that dried his mouth out so. Made him wonder for a moment what she might do with all this machine-sharpened steel. She, who'd killed dozens in Valbec with just a bit of rope. He told himself all he was doing was taking a thing from here to there on the orders of his mistress. Wasn't his concern what folk chose to do with it after. A tale traders in weapons been telling themselves since weapons first were made, no doubt. Judge's black eyes rolled across to him, gleaming wetly in the echoing gloom of the warehouse.
"Well, I don't think I was ever brought nicer presents, Gunnar Broad. I thought nothing could warm me to Savine Danbrock, but she's managed to light a fire in my quim even so. Perhaps she really will be the darling of the slums in the end." "And this is just a taste," said Broad. "Just slipping me the tip, eh, you fucking tease? I tell the Brocks we've got a deal. There's a full shipload waiting on the docks in Osterholm, enough to arm a whole rebellion. And all they want is for you to speak to the Weaver, get the breakers and burners to do what they want to do anyway, rise up all at once, on the last day of summer. Throw up the barricades and fix the King's Own where they are. Make sure they can't come to help His Majesty. The young lion will do the rest."
"Huh." Judge considered him through narrowed eyes, point of her tongue showing between her teeth.
"What?" "You know why they call me Judge? 'Cause I'm the best judge of character. One look, and I know a body better than they know themselves."
She pulled a wicked-looking axe from a freshly opened crate, all bright steel with no ornament.
"You say you're one of us, Malma's old mate. Good old Bull Broad doing his best for the simple folk, but I reckon the jury's still out."
Felt like Broad stood at a cliff edge, one foot hovering in the empty air, but he was surrounded by angry madmen, ones he'd just armed. There was no way back. His voice sounded husky in his ear.
"How can I convince you?"
Judge smiled wide.
"The very question I've been thirsting for. There's 36 fellow travellers of ours been jailed after a little riot. They're being brought into Valbec for a show trial and summary execution. Tomorrow night, is it, Salby?"
"Tomorrow night,"
said Salby, holding a vicious-looking flatbow bolt up to the light.
"We're going to free those good people."
"And you want me to help?"
"You want you to help. Admit it. You can't wait to get your hands bloody."
Broad swallowed. He should have known words weren't going to get this done.
"They'll be guarded. Heavily,"
said Judge, the axe whistling faintly as she swung it back and forth.
"And the guards will be expecting trouble."
Judge nodded towards the cannon.
"Not this much. Men will die. Ain't much worth doing don't involve a few dead men."
She tossed the axe over to him, and he caught it by its metal shaft.
"That a point against the plan in your mind, or in favour?"
Broad frowned as he weighed the axe in his hand. Truth was, he wasn't sure.